and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming ND Light
Sour Face.
Old Uncle Rat Bastard.
Sour Face. Tiger Face.
And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internet is Joe Crazy Rider. How you doing today, Joe?
Considering it stopped raining, the humidity's down, and it's a gorgeous day outside, why the hell am I indoors potting?
I don't know.
See the sacrifices we go through for you folks?
You know,
I think both of our fans appreciate it, and there's probably three fans that listen to us just because they hate us.
Well, one of our fans is in the hospital, Brian. So let's get this recorded.
Because of our podcast? I feel bad. What did we say?
I don't know. I've cut most of the things you said that would shock and offend people.
Oh, and let me tell you this about that.
And there we had to do it again.
Don't worry, folks. Eventually we'll have the uncensored crazy podcast.
No.
It's all merchandising, you know, lost episode.
Pretty much. It's Joe talking about eBay for 3 hours.
Oh, and that gives me an idea. Solo Joe. eBay show. All right. Good thing. See, the ideas are just dripping.
You know who's got a lot of ideas?
Who's that?
These guys, our sponsors. Crazy Comics and Stories is brought to you by DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best, bar none, web host in the whole known universe. And you can save $20 on your first year of web hosting. Just use the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, and you get $20 off your first year of hosting. Graze.com is healthy snacks delivered right to your door. And if you use the code CORYS3R5P, that's CORYS3R5P, you get your first and fifth box free. Go to Graze.com to find out more. If you want to contact us at Crazy Comics and Stories, you can. You can either go to our Facebook fan page at Crazy Comics and Stuff. You can email us at corey.strode@gmail.com, or you can call us at 952-856-0519. When you do that, we will read or play your comment on the air. If you want to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories, you can. Just go ahead and email me at corey.strode@gmail.com, subject advertising. Thanks.
Hi, everybody. This is Brian Christman.
Shane Kelly.
Adam Murdo.
Matt.
Chris Eberle.
Peter Rios.
And we're from the Comic Geek Speak podcast.
On May 2nd of this year, our friend and fellow podcaster, Jamie D'Alessandro, lost his battle with cancer.
In honor of Jamie, we are participating in a 5K and 10K race to raise money for the Livestrong Foundation, which provides support for people with cancer.
We will be taking part in the Team Livestrong Challenge, Philly, on Sunday, August 17th in Blue Bell, Pennsylvania.
We are collectively running
and walking
under the team name of Jamie's Avengers.
If you'd like to join us in the event or make a donation to our team, go to livestrong.org and search for Jamie's Avengers.
Thank you all for your time, and
Jamie's Avengers assemble!
I bet you they don't censor.
That's more fun.
You know, and I suppose this is probably a good place to mention FallCon, October 4th, which is just one summer, actually not that far away, really. Saturday, October 4th at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds, the one-day wonder, 240 minutes of extreme comic book action. Talking with my old partner, Pat, he's looking to maybe go again and have a final goodbye sale, which is what, his eighth, ninth sale? I don't know.
He's been saying goodbye more often than Terry Funk.
True. And he's not really blowing things out on eBay. He lowered the price on those 7-Eleven cups. So, and I also think if anybody is really interested and got a little scratch to drop and want to pick up that collection, you could just give them a quick email. But yeah, other than that, again, for FallCon, mncba@aol.com or www.midwestcomicbook.com. And when we know stuff, we will definitely tell you folks. That's the type of people we are.
We know stuff?
I know. Well, other than the dealer letters are out, so if you are trying to get a table to be a dealer, use that email I just mentioned and, for Nick's sake, if you do send him an email, just don't say, hey, send me dealer information, because the boy gets like 400 plus emails a day and he doesn't have time to play musical emails. Just say, hey, I'm a dealer. Here's my email. Here's my address. Here's my phone number. Here's the stuff I want. I want a table. And, I'd be surprised if tables weren't already sold out.
Already.
That's how popular FallCon is, and I can't wait. It should be fun.
Now, you said that you were giving up talking about how beautiful it is outside. I got to be honest. I was actually loading up my MP3 player to go listen to music and read by the lake when you said, hey, let's podcast.
That is true. And the only reason I did that is because I'm not sure I'll be around Monday night. As my lovely wife, after having an excruciating week at work, decided to take the following week off, which is cool. So I figured, well, let's get this here podcast in the can and, get all our listeners taken care of. So
then you could go out and get tacos.
Actually, I may be going out getting White Castles, but I'll talk about that when we get to geeking.
It'd be better if you got tacos.
No, I had tacos last night.
So if you're the one saying we ought to podcast, that means that you've got all sorts of stuff to talk about. So I'm just going to sit back and let Joe run the show. Go! Joe, the floor is yours.
I really got nothing.
What?
I haven't even read a comic book from the last podcast to this podcast.
What?
Gotta
hurry, got a podcast, got stuff to do.
I did go through the previews and, figured out what I wanted for a month, I really got nothing. I haven't been to a comic shop. I haven't done any comic thing online. I'm kind of comic free right now. How about you, Corey? You're a veritable Wikipedia of useless comic information. What do you got to keep us entertained for a while?
Well, I sat down and got caught up on a bunch of comics. Hello?
Oh, sorry.
Aliens involved?
Playing with my Star Trek communicator.
That doesn't sound like a communicator.
Sure it is. Well, actually, it sounds more like a tricorder, but...
Yeah, it does.
Probably means my battery's dying. Oh, sorry. I'll put it down.
Well, I got caught up on.
Sorry, damn it. Okay, I'll put it. Wait, okay, hang on. I'll put it over here. That way, it's out of my reach. Okay, go ahead.
So, are we ready?
I think so.
Okay. I got caught up on some books. Sitting by the lake. Because it's so much better idea than doing this.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, I thought I had the mute on. I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry. Oh, go on.
You sure?
Yep.
Are you ready now?
Sure, I did.
Okay. Well, you've wasted another 10 minutes listening to us try to talk about comics.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so embarrassed. Sorry about that. Oh, I'm okay,
so the food's put away.
The food's put away.
Beverage is done.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm properly hydrated.
And the toys are all gone.
Well, I'm sitting in my toy room, but nothing's within reach, if that's what you mean.
Okay. So I was getting caught up on some comics. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. And I noticed that I am reading my comics much differently than I used to. I no longer take the comics that I get and put them in a pile and read certain ones first and save other ones for later. And put the goddamn game down!
Sorry. I'm playing a little Simpsons tap out here. Sorry. Do I want to leave the game? Yes. Sorry. Okay. So you're reading comics differently.
Yes.
You're sure you're not reading manga?
Yes.
Okay.
One of the things I've noticed is there are a few books that I still read the week they come out, but many of them. I could still go to the
lake.
Not
a good time to practice my jug band?
No.
Okay, I'll put the
tape. I could go to the lake, Joe.
I'll put that. I'm sorry.
But I'm noticing more and more that I read my comics when a story is done. A good example, The Mighty Thor. I love that
book. I slept wrong on my pillow last night. I'm Mighty Thor.
It's been excellent. And, oh, look, I haven't read it for a while. And it's, oh, okay, that's because they're doing the last days of Midgard story. And I'll just wait till the fifth part of it comes out, read it all at once. Or Daredevil. I'm reading that. They aren't as well-defined story arcs, but it's I read that when a story is done. Or Hulk, I read that when a story is done. There are some books that I still read as the story's going on. There's Amazing Spider-Man, Powers, Walking Dead, The Massive, things like that. But on more and more books, it's nope, I want to wait till it's all done. And that's one of the things how I've transitioned to trade paperbacks. But I was wondering, Joe, when you get, let's go to both. When you go to the shop and pick up your books, how do you read those? Do you get them home and read it, you know, just random, or do you pick out the stuff you want to read first? Do you put some aside to read later? How do you determine in what order you will read your funny books? Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the question?
Why are we recording today again?
I'm not sure anymore.
Yeah, I need to go to the lake.
You know, I should mention that I have, like, right now I have, like, 3 short boxes of comics that I haven't read. And, you know, usually when I it's like there are certain comics I've almost got to read. Amazing Spider-Man, Hawkeye, whenever it comes out. There are certain
Hawkeye still comes out.
I'm not sure anymore. There are some comics that I found I'm like Cyclops. I didn't get issue 1, so I picked up 2, 3, 4, and then eventually I went to the different comic stores till I found 2. So now I got a pile of that sitting. I got the Magneto sitting. Like I said, I read issue 1. I haven't read the other 4. Silver Surfer, I read 1 and 2 right when they came out. Generally, you know, it's like I used to read it in a pile of must reads to less reads. And you know, you're talking back when comics were 25 cents a piece, you know, it'd be a big pile of books. And that would be my afternoon is going through everything. Now it's weird because it's like for what I drop on comics, it's like I could read most of them in about a half hour. And what I try to do is I just try to, you know, don't have to, what do they call it when you watch all the episodes and binge
watching. Yeah. I did some of that this weekend too that we'll get to.
So I try not to do the binge comicking because then I feel like, you know, for my $50 I just dropped, I really didn't get a lot of entertainment out of it. So what I'll try to do is, like you said, there are some things I'll wait and pile up. Miniseries, like, Straczynski's doing, a Terminator series, which is supposed to tie into all the Terminator. 12-issue miniseries. So I'll wait. I'll get that together. Sometimes it backfires. Like Frank Miller did a RoboCop miniseries years ago. Took forever for me to find all the issues so I could read them. And, of course, when I finally did, then the trade paperback came out. It's like, thanks, guys. And that was weird because I think it was from Avatar, and Avatar publishes like 500 variants for a single issue.
Oh, I know.
And I couldn't find anybody that had any of them. But like I said, now it's, you know, I really, what I should take is a screenshot of my room. I mean, really, I've got piles of stuff sitting around me and, videos and DVDs and things on eBay. And, I started the day basically, my wife and I were just sitting out on our deck enjoying the weather and reading. And I was like, I should bring some comics out. And I'm like, nope. I grabbed what I was talking about last time. I just grabbed that big book. These Are the Voyages of the original series, season one, you know, just kind of wading through that, you know. So, I mean, really, I don't really have I think another title I read right away would be like Knights of the Dinner Table when I get that. I just love to get through that. I read the comic portion and then I set it aside and I'll read the gaming section a little bit later. But, yeah, it's kind of weird. But like I said, this week I just haven't, well, we'll talk about it when we get to Freaking and Geeking too, but I just haven't really, had time to read much. And that's when I start getting into the, why am I spending all this money mode, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, I'll give you a for instance, when Corey and I were emailing as we're setting up the podcast, you said something, WWE Money in the Bank tonight?
Yeah.
No frickin' clue. I mean, yeah, I've got the WWE Network. I use PWInsider.com to kind of keep up with what's going on. I got the WWE Network, but I don't have access to Raw or SmackDown because we cut back on our dish a while back. And although I read about it, it's not urgent for me. So the day-to-day things just don't make any difference. I just wait until like the last pay-per-view and everybody's like, oh, this was incredible. Check it out. Okay. I get it for free on the WWE Network. I can watch it whenever I want. You know, I'm watching other programs on WWE Network. I'm just not watching the current live product, which is probably not something any WWE exec wants to hear and that's probably,
they're getting their $10 out of you. They don't care.
Well, yeah. And I'm getting my $10 worth. So I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I'm not following the current product, you know, unless something happens. Like if I hear Undertaker comes back, even then I got to wait and hear about it or wait for a little snippet on their YouTube channel or wherever the heck they're going to post it. Comics are the same way. When I went to Alaska all those times, I'd come back and haven't had read comics in 3 months. I could very easily see myself kind of just walking away. Kind of like the way my old partner Pat. I mean, I don't even think he's buying new comics. If he is, he's either looking to replace graphic novels of things he likes. He's just like, you know, he's not really collecting. I think the collector bug left him. And maybe that's something that happens when you get older. I know the collector mentality's left me. There's times where I'm like, I want to have every single variant. And I'm like, why? I only need one to read. And of course, the really cool ones I want are always the expensive ones. Like when Spider-Man 700 hit and the Steve Ditko variant from unused cover. Yeah, it's still in the stratosphere. I'll never own it. So yeah, I mean, and that's also, I think, a problem with comics in general. And we've touched base on it before. If you don't get in that habitual habit of buying monthly or ordering weekly or just picking them up, you know, you'll drift away. And with the advent of graphic novel and digital downloads, you can pick them up whenever you want. There's no hurry.
Yeah. That's one thing.
But when I do read them, I love it.
I think there seems to be a difference in how we consume media now. When we get to geeking, I'm going to talk about how I've been binge watching stuff because this is the first full weekend I have had off in over a month. So looking through the TV, it's like, oh, look, here's every episode of this season for this series. I just sat down and watched it all the way through.
And Netflix is kind of feeding to that too because the upcoming Marvel series, we can put them all up. Binge watching.
Well, that's how Netflix does all their stuff.
Oh yeah.
They have movies, but from everything they say, what drives people to get it is, oh look, I can watch every episode of this series. I can watch every episode of this series. I can watch every episode of this. And they really didn't expect that to happen. They thought it would be the movies that drove people. But now it's more, oh, I want to watch all of Fringe or Breaking Bad. There are two series where they were canceled but came back for a six-episode kind of closer. One was Nikita, which I didn't watch, and the other was Warehouse 13. And they were both told they were going to be canceled, and Netflix kind of stepped in and helped negotiate these six-episode conclusions, because they've learned if a series doesn't have a conclusion of some kind, people don't watch it. So in both of those cases, the channel that was showing them had a financial stake in it. Netflix came to them and said, look, if you wrap it up, we'll buy it. If you don't wrap it up, we're just not going to care.
We'll buy it.
So I think you might see more of that, especially in these series that are continued, but they get to the end of their first season and they're not going to get renewed. I think, God, what was that show a couple of years ago? There was a show a couple of years ago on ABC where about halfway through, the producers were told, well, you're probably not going to get renewed. And they only had a certain number of episodes. So they worked really hard. Okay, we've put all this stuff out so that we can run for years, but we got to wrap it all up. Because they knew if they didn't, nobody would be buying the DVDs. Netflix wouldn't be interested.
It's very, very rare that you get people, and it's usually they call it a cult following, like Firefly. I mean, it's like the show that never dies because people want to keep it going. But how many shows that I can think of that I remember, especially growing up, that just disappeared and never reappeared?
Or never wrapped up their story.
Oh,
they're showing Land of the Lost right now on MeTV. And the first season was great. Second season was
Well, season was kind of – I don't think David Gerrell, the guy who spearheaded the first season, they weren't on it. But they did kind of – they got more into the more continuity. And they were like, okay, let's – they're like fleshing out the Land of the Lost. And they were dropping – hints here and there about, you know, who actually made this. And then there was the turd of a third season.
That's what I was going to say. They're starting the third season, and the way they started it, first off, they changed the opening song and told you everything that's going to happen in that first episode of the third season.
Although, if you recall, that was when they used to do Friday night previews, so everybody was already geeking about it anyways.
Yeah. But it really took a huge step down. And I don't remember the third season at all, which meant that I probably watched an episode or two and just went, oh, this is stupid now. Those aren't real dinosaurs. Because what? They've got a two-headed dinosaur. They've got dinosaurs that breathe fire. Yeah. And it's, those aren't real dinosaurs. I don't want to watch this anymore. I doubt it had
all sorts of humans were showing up that never explained. They did touch upon different things, like they had the most significant one was in the first episode, early episodes, they decide to go down a river, and that's where they first discover that, or they start suspecting they're in a closed universe.
Yes.
They run across some Civil War guy who mining crystals and shooting cannons at Sleestak.
Yep, that was first season.
And then in the third season, when they decided to bring the Medusa of classic mythology, and there's a statue in her garden of, and they say, oh, that reminds me of that crazy old guy who used to fire off cannon. So, you know, they're trying to throw us little bones, but they were little bones, you know?
Yeah. But back to comics. One of the things Marvel used to do in the 70s, if a book got canceled, they'd wrap it up in something else. Skull the Slayer was canceled, and then they wrapped up the story of Marvel 2-in-1.
Shogun was canceled, wrapped up in Fantastic Four.
Yep.
Godzilla.
A lot of things like that.
Was wrapped up in a way in Avengers. That's how they got rid of the
Red Ronin.
Well, they got rid of the Godzilla in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
some skull face guy. I forget what his name was.
But with current comics, because they're written in story arcs, well, at least over at Marvel, indie books, they, because they're creator-owned, they're also doing a really good job of, oh, our sales are slowly trending downward. We're just going to plan to wrap it up with issue 24 or 30 or whatever. Because of that, it creates, oh, look, here's trade paperbacks, and you can sell those. Godland finished up finally. I think it was like a year and a half between the next to last issue and the last issue. But now they could keep repackaging it so that you can binge read it. Or all the Star Wars stuff at Dark Horse. They've been putting out the omnibuses, except their omnibuses are small, $25 trades. And those are being put out in chunks. I don't know what's going to happen to those when it switches over to Marvel. If Marvel's smart, they'll keep those in print. Hey, look, we got all this stuff that we could keep printing. Just think, Joe, Marvel might be able to reprint all the Marvel Star Wars stuff.
Never last.
But with my comics, I'm doing more binge reading, and I'm wondering how that affects comic sales. Because back when trade paperbacks started to get big, there were the people who would wait for the trade. But now everybody consumes their media in binging. I know because the new Transformers movie came out, you go to any store that sells DVDs. Up, here's a three-pack of the first three Transformers movies. Here's, you know, they're putting out, okay, here's all the stuff that came before. Or you've been in the Target section where they have four movies, the four movie packs.
Like, oh, yeah.
Okay, here are the three Matrix movies and Animatrix. Here you go. Or here are the three Rush Hour movies. Or and those do well. I actually picked up the Lethal Weapon. Said, oh, look, it's all four Lethal Weapon movies. Would I have bought them individually? Probably not. But, oh, look, I could get all four of them and just watch them. Yes. In an afternoon.
I'm ashamed of some of the things I've picked up. The complete Police Academy. And then
really?
Then there was one of Smokey and the Bandit. Not only the original three, but a bunch of bad made-for-TV chase movies that were...
Made-for-cable TV.
Yeah.
Made-for-cable TV in the 80s.
Oh. Don't judge me.
You'll have to let me know if you watch any of those.
I'm not quite sure where in my vast accumulation of crap I've found it is. But we will get to that.
But I think with comics, especially one of the things, the Marvel Unlimited. Oh, you know, I'd like to read some Kirby Fantastic Four. I'll start around issue 36. Next thing I know, I'm up to issue 60. Because it's, oh, well, this continues, and it continues, and it continues, and it continues, and I got to keep reading. Or the Essentials, which more and more looks like that whole program is dead.
Yeah, bastards.
I know.
Killers! And assassins!
And the cool thing was they were getting up into the 80s on some of them, and in some they were in the 90s. So you'd pick up, like, Essential X-Men, and the whole big book is, oh, it's just one of the crossovers. Yeah, it went into these seven books, back and forth and back and forth. Oh, look, we're out of time. We only printed four issues of Uncanny X-Men.
Well, I have a question for you, Corey.
Sure.
Do you know where Elko, Minnesota is?
No.
You should.
Why?
They just built... a brand new drive-in theater.
Oh, whoa!
Yeah. Just so you know, Elko's actually fairly close to you, Corey. You're talking, it's probably, southwest, you go a little bit south on 35 where it joins in Burnsville and you go straight down 35 and it's got a big speed race place, but they have a new drive-in
theater. The Elko Speedway.
Yep. It's around that area. It's Champions Outdoor Movie Theater in Elko, New Market. And what they've done.
That's not good. They've only got a Facebook page.
Well, they just opened. They took the screen from the departed Cottage View drive-in that just closed in Cottage Grove so they could build a Walmart. And, they opened her up. They started with Godzilla and, I'm trying to think of who the owner here. Yeah. Yeah. So mark that down. You'll get a chance to relive.
It is only 34 minutes away. From so you. That's much closer.
It's a lot closer to you than it is me. But I mean, we used to have over
Valley High. Valley High is awesome.
Yeah. We used to have over 36 drive-in theaters, but, again, Valley High is the only one left at Lake Elmo, but you got one a lot closer to you. And it should be state of the art. Holds about 600 cards. It's got a
cards.
Oh, cards, millions, but cars, 600. So he's looking to do movies 7 nights a week through Labor Day with double features every night except Saturday when a single film will run after the last race. So, there's hope for you yet. They must have known the Strode, the power. You don't know the power of the Strode. Well, maybe you do.
Well, I do know that I love me some Valley High Drive-In.
Yeah. Well, this will be fun. We'll have to wait till we see a comic type movie come out and maybe go check it out.
Well, one of the things I was going to ask, Joe.
Why did I buy a big commission from Ethan Van Shiver?
No, I understand why you would do that. He's awesome.
Yeah, and actually what it was is somebody had a Supergirl piece on eBay, and it was this type of Supergirl I liked, the 70s, and it was beautiful. And when I went to his commission page, they were asking like $350. They went to the commission page, and he asked like $300 for a piece like this. So I'm thinking, okay, they're actually not asking too much. So knowing that, I went to the seller, and I made a best offer of $300. And he accepted it, which
that's cool.
I didn't expect, which basically just wiped out everything I made on eBay the past month. But when I got the piece, I was pretty damn happy with it. In case, for those of you who have no idea who we're talking about, Ethan Daniel Van Shiver, he's an American comic book artist, and he's done Green Lantern, Batman Superman, New X-Men, Flash Rebirth. So he's basically a hack. So... He was actually at the Wizard World Con, and I think I don't.
Oh well, then screw him.
I don't recall if Pat got a chance to talk to him or not. I think he said the line was too big, and he had another. He wanted looking for Neil Adams. I paid $300 to see Neil Adams. I am your biggest fan. I said, no, you were a lot bigger last time I saw you 20 years ago. Yeah, that's true.
So, oh God.
Anyways, that was my eBay-in. But that's not what you wanted to talk about.
My question is, as a shop owner.
Yes, I did. I can proudly say I sold the gold. The complete set of Deathmate gold. Oh, jeez.
Oh, he's gonna puke. He's gonna puke.
Yeah. Anyways, I did sell it.
For how much?
I think $1.98.
I offered more than that, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, but I'm not going to sell nothing to you. You just come at me with that credit voucher from the old comic shop. Take it off my credit.
I don't have that anymore.
I need,
it's at Christie's shop.
Which, of course, is now gone to the ages.
Yes, probably now in Brian, what's his name's, storage bin.
Yeah, probably. So, anyways, Deathmate Gold, gone.
And I would have given you $2.25 for it, cash money at the convention.
But I needed the money now.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have had to pay for shipping.
No, they paid for shipping.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have had to go to the post office.
I just drove by, dropped it in the box. Actually, I think I had Holly do it for me. Walked up to the corner post office box.
Next time I see you, I'm going to punch you in the kneecap.
Ooh, I like kneecaps.
Back to my question.
What? We do questions?
Joe, as a former shop owner, and how people are changing how they read comics.
Not that I'm bitter about it.
what would you do to kind of cater
you said do-do.
To the new way people read their comics? You know, you've got you've got your Wednesday Warriors, but even you had at the shop, you'd have the guys come down from the tattoo place and I want all of the Walking Dead trades. How do you think you could cater to that audience that would binge read?
I think the big thing would be just to make sure I have them all in. It's hard because I haven't figured out. I think the big thing that would worry me is how do you deal with like Amazon or even places like Discount Comic Book Service? Cause I mean, they're offering things so bloody cheap. I mean, when I had the little comic store, I lost people to, small shops or, not small shops. I was a small shop. I lost people to, just go online. You know, cause I couldn't match the discount they had. When I had the big store, I just made sure everything was in stock and I had a pretty good idea what was popular. Preacher, Sandman, Star Wars, Cerebus, Kingdom, single things like Kingdom Come, Marvels, Stranger in Paradise. You know, you just had to make sure you had them. People didn't really binge read. What they would do is they'd come in, they'd buy a copy, and then when they're done, they would come back and buy the next one. And even then, you know, a lot of times you'd offer and say, hey, you know, I'll order it for you to be here less than a week. Ah, that's okay. I go over to Source. You know, so, and at the time the Source was building up their paperbacks and trades. So, you know, some people would let you order them, your regulars. Most people would just go on. And now, of course, you got like Barnes and Noble, and they don't really have a lot of graphic novels, but they tend to keep, you know, definitely the Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, things like that in. So, really that would, and you know, again, that's a lot of outlay. I don't know if Diamond has a program for that anymore. I mean, I think we were ahead of the curve. We had a good graphic novels built up, and then every so often Diamond would come out with a program like, okay, here's a list of essential trades. You can buy them. During Christmas, it would be on consignment. You know, whatever you sell, you pay for later. Or they would give you an extra 5-10% off. Because remember, a lot of times you're buying this stuff non-returnable. So for them to say you can return them after the holidays and things like that was pretty major. I even toyed with an idea of having a little kiosk cart up at Maplewood Mall, which was about, I think, 5 miles north of us, just for the Christmas season, and just stock it with trades using that type of program. But then there was, of course, the problem of, okay, how would we man it? The hours were different, you know, but I couldn't help but think, you know, if you stocked all the major trades and name recognition trades. And again, this was before, you know, now you can just say X-Men, Superman, Wonder Woman. You can say Guardians of the Galaxy and somebody knows what you're talking about. Back then, boy, you'd have had to stick with Star Trek, Star Wars, probably get away with Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Wonder Woman. Nobody knew who X-Men were. That would be a shoot.
Well, Sandman.
Sandman had a lot of press.
Sandman was one of those things where the people who bought the trades didn't buy, you know, they would buy other Vertigo stuff, but they wouldn't buy monthly comics. They would come in, they'd buy the Sandman trade, they'd buy the Transmetropolitan trade, they'd buy the Preacher trade. And I always wondered if those people, if you could convert them into buying other trades by the same people. Because the Neil Gaiman people would buy all the Neil Gaiman stuff.
Oh, that was
easy.
The
people who would buy like the Invisibles, they wouldn't go to Justice League or X-Men.
That would be pretty easy because, I mean, Alan Moore was like ahead of the curve on that one. I mean, if you had somebody that liked Watchmen, they would absolutely love everything else he did.
One of the things that I'm wanting to look at, maybe I'll do a little research, or maybe, you know, I'll just say that I'll do a little research and then I won't.
And then you look it up on Wikipedia.
Well, it's more I wonder about the 90s trade series that did really well, like Transmetropolitan and Preacher and those books. I wonder if they still sell.
You know, that's an interesting question. Maybe next time we see Nick, we'll have to ask him.
Because I remember Preacher, even like 3-4 years after that series ended, you couldn't keep those on the shelf. Transmetropolitan, the same thing.
Well, I think if Preacher actually gets developed into some type of show, you'll see a resurgence on that. Look at Walking Dead. I mean, Walking Dead would be the one I think that would be most candidate for binge. But that, you know, that's interesting questions because we should actually ask Nick about that, our favorite owner of the source over there. Not that we don't like Bob. He's a damn fine, handsome man, too.
He doesn't know comics that well.
No,
though.
But he's a consummate gamer. So he's your gaming guy. But it's a good question for Nick because, I mean, ask him not only how do you cater to binge walking, what are the top-selling graphic novels for you? I mean, we can find out what the other ones are. And more importantly, a question we asked last podcast, how do the pre-DC 52 trades sell? How do the essentials sell? How do the old Spider-Man sell? Is there a market in these? Or is maybe Marvel's onto something by just saying, you know what? We're going to publish blocks of things, stories that relate, and if you want it, go. If you want the rest, go online digital.
Yeah.
That's what I suspect.
I also would really like to know how well Marvel Unlimited is doing, because I know in Marvel's podcast, they say, here are the books that are new in Marvel Unlimited, and they'll just go through. Or, you know, if a movie's coming out, like with the Guardians of the Galaxy, well, guess what? You could get all the old Guardians of the Galaxy stories, not just the current Guardians, but the original Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
All the Steve Gerber stuff, all the Roger Stern stuff, all of the Jim Valentino stuff. I don't know who it was took over after Valentino because, boy, the book really stunk after that. But
yeah,
that's all there.
I pretty much dropped it. It was sad, too, because he had a plan for it, and it never lasted.
Well, one of the things I liked about that Guardians of the Galaxy run that he did was it was set 1,000 years in the future, but it tied in with the Marvel Universe really tightly, kind of like how the Legion of Superheroes did with the DC Universe. And that was one of the things I always liked once I started reading DC about the Legion. You know, they had their own world and stuff, but because of the Superman, Superboy connection, you had that. But also it was, okay, here's all this stuff that has kind of been going on for 1,000 years with the alien races. And a lot of that was Keith Giffen using the alien races in the Legion of Superheroes and then introducing them in the modern day DC universe. The sad thing is all that's gone now. Marvel is still, with them bringing back the original Guardians, should I say spoiler?
Nah.
Because it's in the new previews.
It's hard to have spoilers these days, I think.
Well, and it's not like it's a secret that they're bringing them back. Hey, look, the Guardians is selling. Let's use the original Guardians. Except it's just the original four. Well, the original five. So I hope they bring back some of the other side characters. Anyway, one of the things Marvel did was they had a future history chronology that tied in all their science fiction books. It's like, okay, in 86, this happened. That's where Deathlok came from. 2001, this happened. That's where Killraven came from. And then there's this that happened all the way leading up to the Guardians of the Galaxy in the year 3001. Now, of course, as time has gone on, Marvel Universe did not get invaded by Martians in 2001, which I think is such a missed opportunity. 2001, that should have been their line-wide crossover. The Martians invade. But I think with the Guardians becoming big, they shoved all the Guardian stuff on there. When Winter Soldier came out. It's, oh, here's all the appearances of Bucky that we can get our hands on and digitize. DC doesn't, they seem to miss those opportunities right and left. You know, we're getting a new Flash TV series.
Yeah.
But they don't seem to be doing much of anything about the Flash and putting out trades.
A lot of that, too.
Making the book more interesting.
Is the way Time Warner is structured, which we got an insight for. Again, way long ago, I was reading the insight of Making Babylon 5. And one of the big questions Straczynski was constantly asked is, why aren't there Babylon 5 toys? And there were later, towards the end of the series run, if not after, when Diamond decided to do it. But the problem is that whereas Disney is a horizontal company, so you have, what's the buzzword? What do they call it? Synergy. Where the book department will get together with the record department, gets together with the online department, get together with the gaming department, get together with Marvel and everybody, and we're going to make a huge Star Wars splash. You got the entire company working to relaunch Star Wars. It's going to be a major, major fit. In Time Warner, everything's vertical. So in other words, the book division does not care what the movie division's doing. They just care what the book division's doing. They want to take care of selling books. They don't think, hey, you got Babylon 5? Maybe we can sell some Babylon 5 books. The record department doesn't say, hey, you got a soundtrack? Let's do that. Even if they came and Babylon 5 said, you know, to DC Comics, hey, we got this show. Do you want to make a comic book? They'd go, meh. And they kind of half-assed did a comic book, I know. But, you know, it wasn't one of those things where, I mean, there are stories still to be told in this universe. Yet trying to get anybody to do anything with it is nothing. I mean, I hear stories constantly. Time Warner's looking around. Hey, how come we ain't got Star Trek? You're sitting on Babylon 5. You haven't done crap with it for years. You know, and it's all because of the vertical structure. You know, the thought that someone from the book division would tell someone from the movie division anything and vice versa, it just doesn't work. That's why when AOL bought Time Warner, they're thinking we were going to make something like Disney where, hey, we have this project coming out, XYZ. I want everybody to promote something. Well, the other department heads, they don't answer to anybody except their own department heads. So they're like, meh, they don't feel like doing it. Okay, here, you can have this. We'll sell it in backwards Montana, maybe 3 copies. Meh. You know, very indifferent. Whereas Disney, if your department doesn't step up to the plate, guess what? You're going to be talking to the CEO of Disney, and he wants to know why you dropped the ball. Unless, of course, it was John Carter, Warlord of Mars, in which case they said, we don't care. Get rid of it. So just a little insight on how these companies work, which could explain why DC constantly drops the ball. You know, I think they just existed in their own little universe for a while, and they were just happy to stay away from corporate. But now corporate's kind of on top of them, which is why, you know, I think they're still answering in their own vertical universe, but they're not thinking, hey, Flash is coming out. Let's have a ton of Flash stuff. Especially since it's not us. It's Warner Brother Network doing it. We don't want to deal with them. Yeah, why else would Smallville comic be kind of regulated off to the netherverse of the DC listing catalog? I mean, it's almost, hey, we have Scooby-Doo too, yeah. Oh, we have Looney Tunes, yeah.
I know with Smallville, it's an online comic, and once again, it's the 11th season.
But who did it? Is it DC doing it, or is it Time Warner
DC's,
or television?
DC's doing it.
Yeah, but they're not.
And they brought in.
They're not doing any cross promotion with other Time Warner entities. They're just, hey, we're doing it. So you're preaching to the converted. I mean, The most amazing thing that ever happens is when you get a Buffy fan interested in Buffy season 8 with Dark Horse. That's binge reading.
Yeah.
But
and season 9 was really good too. They're starting season 10. Now, I remember when 8 came out, it was so big that Dreamhaven would put on their website, Buffy was supposed to come out this week and it didn't. We're sorry. It'll be out next week, according to Dark Horse. That's how big Buffy was, season 8. But I think more and more people just went, oh, well, I'll just wait and I'll just buy the trades, rather than go to the shop and buy the individual issues. Because a lot of times, well, let's see, I could go to the shop every month and maybe it's there and maybe it's not. Or, oh, look, a new trade's out. I'll go get it.
Oh, by the way, I think we mentioned it, but our good buddy Doug Patsowitz, the guy who does Artemis Lullaby,
yes,
made his Kickstarter goal.
Yeah, so good.
Now,
that's twice now.
Now he's working on juicing up the giveaways. He just said right now he's going to sign and sketch in every copy there. And he's got a lot of bonus merchandise. And I tell you, when I got the last batch, the swag he gave me was incredible. So it's not too late. Jump on board and check it out. Again, Kickstarter.com, Arsenic Lullaby. Very simple, very easy.
That is one thing that I think comics should move toward. The artists who have small but dedicated followings, rather than deal with, okay, I'll go through Image, and Image will take a percentage. And then Diamond will take a percentage, and then the shop will take a percentage. Instead, just go directly to your fans. I know Serena Valentino is looking to bring back Gloom Cookie. Maybe I think it's a reprint project. She's just going to do it as a Kickstarter. She has a book coming out in about 6 months that was funded through a Kickstarter. I had the interview with the people from World War Kaiju, and that was a Kickstarter. I think my only problem with Kickstarter is it seems to take so long from when you pledge your money to when you actually get your thing that in some ways you almost forget about it. It's like, oh yeah, I did order that a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Uh-oh, here we
but
go
I think
again.
Some smaller publishers and smaller creators, that might be a good way to, you know what, rather than deal with the monthly grind, just do a Kickstarter, sell it directly to fans, and use that to fund the book.
And you can also do like Doug does. He makes retailer packages. So
yeah.
If you are a retailer, you don't have to feel left out, and you are supporting him directly.
And Diamond doesn't seem to care anymore because
no.
Back when Dave Sim started doing the huge Cerebus collections, which now everybody does, but he was the first one, and he did it in the late 80s, where it's, I'm going to put 25 issues in one big book and sell it. He was going to be sending them directly. What it is, you would order them from him, or shops could order directly from him. And I don't remember the reason why he didn't go through the distributors. But Diamond got really...
I think it was
really...
because they didn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, this was like before graphic novels. So here you're taking what the comic was, what, $1.75 or something? $2.25?
Yeah.
Which was expensive for a comic. And they're like, what, $25 for this? Well, you know, Dave. And Dave said, screw it. I'll do it ourselves. And I'm sure, you know, again, we'll look that up and maybe if we're wrong... Yeah, well, Dave will call us and tell us, hey, no, that's not the real story. Seriously, Corey's got a hotline. Anytime that we make a mistake in the podcast, it rings. Is it ringing now? No, but
not yet. The red line.
The red line. That's the next light rail they build.
But Diamond threw such a fit.
Big time.
They said that they wouldn't carry the other book,
which was Puma
that
Blues.
Sim was publishing.
Yeah, we talked about that too. Puma Blues, they just said, you know what, we're not going to carry this, which really didn't hurt Sim. It more hurt the creator of Puma Blues.
Yeah.
And I think that made two of the particular issues more rare to find. If you want to, I'll go ahead and run to my favorite site, Atomic Avenue, and let's figure out which one.
But the thing that I found interesting is, you know, back then, Diamond was like, how dare you make it so we can't carry this thing? And now Diamond's like, oh, you don't want to go through us? Eh, who cares? Big deal. don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons. I don't think it's why Doug went to Kickstarter to begin with, but it was definitely, you know, I think he was just down. Sales were down, and Diamond was indifferent. I think Diamond actually encouraged him to do it, you know, because they're like, well, we don't really want to see you go out of business, but there's really not much more we can do because we're only selling X amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was number 18, 19, and 20 were the ones that – actually, I take that back. 18 and 19 were the two that got self-published, and issue 20 was one that was self-published as well, but I think that was kind of a support issue because it has a ton of creators on there.
Yeah, that was the fundraising issue.
Yeah, Peter Lard, Alan Moore, Timothy Truman, Tom Veitch, Stephen – Bissett. Yeah. So the, and again, they're not, you know, at one time, 18 and 19 were like $20, $30 books, incredibly hard to find. And they are still hard to find. They're not collectible hard to find anymore.
Well, it's because they came out as trade paperbacks. I don't know if the trades are still in print or not.
No, none of that's in print. Matter of fact, some guys got book two online for $99.
Yeah. Book two was very hard to find. In fact, I did not know book two ever got printed until like 6 years after because they did such a poor job in the catalogs of letting you know.
You know, Corey, it's happening again.
Uh-oh.
Transformers Age of Extinction's out and people are already bad-mouthing it.
Yeah, and?
It's not even a day. I mean, yeah, you know, the thing's going to make billions of dollars and it's going to be a flop.
The people who are bad-mouthing it aren't saying it's losing money. They're saying it sucks. But then again, they've said all the Transformers movies
have sucked.
It hasn't
even been out yet. I mean, it's
oh, it's out. A
couple days, you know?
Yeah, but no, all the Transformers movies got terrible reviews.
I think this is a good time to jump into freaking and geeking.
There we go. Freaking and geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on? What's bugging you? What's causing you heart palpitations?
I got nothing. No, actually, I do got some freaking, and you won't even have to censor me this time.
Well, that'll be a first.
Yes. No, remember those X-Men razor blades I was so proud of last week?
Yeah.
They ripped the hell out of my skull. Apparently, they didn't say that they're Wolverine adamantium blades. I mean, I went to use them and I thought, you know what? It's summer due. I've got that middle age hairdo going. I mean, yeah, I am a middle aged man, but I don't need to look like a middle aged man. So I figured I'd shave it down. And as I'm shaving it, I could feel like layers of my scalp being peeled away. The cool thing about it is that when it does it and you know, your head's wet, and the blood just flows down up and over your ear and over your face. I mean, it's like that blading effect you get in pro wrestlers. It was pretty cool. I mean, I should have taken a picture of it, like having a bad day today. But it just, I mean.
And then put ECW underneath.
ECW, Extreme Championship Shaving.
Extreme Joe.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was nasty. On the plus side, though, it does have a coupon for $5 off movie admission. So, I can use that not only for the X-Men movie, which I've yet to see, but I could use it for anyone. So I'll get my money out of it.
Yeah, but the X-Men movie, I'd just wait a week or two and it'll be in the cheapy theaters.
Well, I can, Tuesday, Marcus Theater does the $5 deal. So we're thinking
about that.
Plus they got the recliners and the, you know, the gourmet meals and the stale pretzels. I mean, I just love it. Answers.com. You suck. If you're on Facebook, occasionally you get those things like, here are 25 things I bet you didn't know about. Fill in your favorite mass media. Big Bang Theory, Spider-Man, Corey Strode's apartment living. The problem is Answers.com is so heavily loaded with ads. It crashes Explorers. It crashes Chrome. Everything I've tried to watch this just crashes. What's the use of having such a website with teasing things like that if you're going to crash all the time? Ease up on the ads, people. If I ever see a link to Answers.com, I just refuse it now. Facebook app on my phone. You suck. I don't know what the hell they did, but all I'm getting is news feeds. I'm not getting any updates. I get the same news feeds. It's like every 12 hours when I check it out, it's the same crap over and over. And I went online. I had to actually uninstall it and reinstall it. And as I'm reinstalling it, I'm reading the reviews and they're like, they're saying what I'm saying. All you're doing is putting in news feeds. Why don't you put my friends feed back? You know, you suck. You're black. You're crashing. Blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you, you know, something's got to give. I mean, we're going to be talking about Facebook in a few years like we talk about MySpace. We won't. The kids are already off it. I mean, my daughter's barely go on it. You've lost the 21-year-olds and you're losing the 14-year-olds. Maybe it's just because mom and dad are online. But
that's a lot of it there.
So they're off finding their own thing, but it's a lot.
They're doing the Snapchat.
You know, again, it's a lot like eBay. You're the 800-pound gorilla in the room, but boy, you're going to have a lot of chimps beating at your feet because all the your desired market is disappearing. Speaking of eBay, chimps. I have what I call eBay gridlock. As I said before, and Corey reminded me, I had to put all my toys at arm's length because I've got so much stuff here. I sit down and I get ready to put things on eBay and my mind just locks. I don't even know where to start. Just let's take a look nearby. I have a WWF Mankind yo-yo, which I got free from KB Toys. Here is a Matchbox Heroic Rescue old-fashioned fire truck, the yellow variant. Over here I have a signed copy of The Boys number 7, signed by Garth Ennis and Derek Robinson. Over in the corner, oh, I do have something that is cool. I did get an Axe Cop figure from Toys R Us that has joined my Duke Nukem, my Vigilante, the cowboy guy, the Phantom Stranger, Baron Von Raschke, and the vintage Mego Mr. Spock action figure on my computer desk. But that's too much like geeking. I'm talking about freaking. I'm getting burnt out on eBay selling, and I still got tons of shit to sell. So I'm making an offer for all of our fans out there. Corey, what is our email address for the show?
I'm just going to go with corey.strode@gmail.com.
Oh, that was a mistake. Folks, write that down because you mail your address. Email your address to Corey. Corey will forward it to me. I'm going to take something out of my eBay pile and mail it to you for free.
Oh, wow.
Because I am just so – I got to clear out this gridlock somehow. Now, again, it's not going to be something you're going to go, oh, my God, he just sent me a mint copy of Action Number 1, which I
– won't even be Deathmate Gold.
No, I did sell
it. Because he wouldn't sell it to me for 30% more than he was offering.
I'm just
– he gave up profit.
It'll probably be something just utterly useless, but it could be something fun. I get a little fun, clean up on my gridlock. My wife will love you. My sanity will return. Well, okay, that's asking a bit much. So go ahead and do that. And next week, as you know, we'll keep this offer going for a couple podcasts. You know, this is our way of giving back to some of the listeners. Corey, other than the fact you're about to get bombarded by at least 3 emails, maybe 4, what are you freaking on? What's got you torqued off? What's got you so honked off that you would spend an hour on this gorgeous day and sit down and talk about this daredum funny books? Yeah.
There's so much flooding around where I live that my drive to work Monday, I had to deal with 3 different detours. So I leave for work Monday. I take kind of a back route because the main route is, crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Normally, if I were to leave now and go to work, it would take me about 25 minutes. If I leave on Monday morning and go to work, it takes an hour and a half. And I found another way that was better. So I go and, oh, look, this road is closed. Oh, all right. I'll go to that detour. Up. Oh, this road is closed. I go to that detour. The third road is closed. And by the time I get to the third detour, it's, oh, look, I'm up on the path that takes an hour and a half to get to work. So all of the different ways for me to go to work. Now, granted, Joe, from where I go to work to home, I do not use a single bridge, not one. This is water that has come up into areas it doesn't normally go and just come up over the road. Or, you know, there's construction going on as well. But, yeah, my route to work is much longer than normal. And I think I've talked in the past where the Howard Stern show isn't as fun as it used to be because he now, it's a celebrity interview that's kind of the centerpiece of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Very long one that lasts, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I really do not, I could not give less of a damn about Katie Couric.
Hey, I saw her get pat down once. I like her.
Yeah, but do you want to listen to her talking to Howard Stern for an hour and a half? And you know it won't be a typical Howard Stern interview. He's not going to talk, because it's Katie Couric, he will talk about safe things. Or Seth Rogen. Do I really need to hear Seth Rogen talk about how much pot he smokes again?
Okay, you got me on that one.
Do I really need to listen to Adam Carolla talk about his podcast again? It's people who've been on the show a lot. They're on the show a lot. And so I've actually kind of been listening to some podcasts and some other stuff on the way in. I do still like my satellite radio. I do listen to a lot of music on it. There's an app I can use now on my phone where I can listen to the music stations anywhere. They have one political station I like. It's called POTUS, which they don't have far right-wing hosts. They don't have far left-wing hosts. If they do have somebody who's a left or a right-wing person, they're much more centrist. And they don't interview the hyper-partisan people. They interview the people who actually are involved in doing stuff. So that's very informative. I get BBC. Yeah, there are, what, three NPR stations. So I've still got stuff. But the thing that I subscribe to, And I'm hoping that once America's Got Talent is over, it'll go back to where he's got more stuff with the crew on the show. Because that's why you listen. It's a reality show with, you know, here's what's going on with everybody who works at the place. But really, other than that, I'm not really freaking about much.
You're not worried that
Box Day has started up again. My first Box Day will probably be Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, I got one in the mail too. Or a FedEx, I should say.
Yep.
So you're not freaked out that Prince Charming finds a random corpse in the woods surrounded by seven guys, kisses it? I mean, that pretty much tells you everything you need to know about men. Ah, good. Make sure the crickets are alive.
Joe, that was 75 years ago.
Hey, I try to stay topical.
I know that. What are you geeking on, Joe? What are you loving? What are you liking? What are you going out of your way to enjoy?
Well, I'm geeking that my daughter, Dana, turned 21.
Now she can drink legally.
Yeah, which isn't as much fun. However.
And it makes you seem older, don't it?
It does. But she went out and did what most 21-year-old do, call her other 21-year-old friends. And they got together and drank the night away. Mom, to her credit, was the chaperone, designated driver. So everybody got home safely. So we're pretty happy with that. And unfortunately, my phone died on me. I was going to read you the text I sent her the following morning because, of course, you know, dad being dad, I had to try to gross her out. So I said, hey, how are you feeling? I heard White Castle hamburgers will cure a hangover.
Oh, no.
It was about 11 a.m. About 1 a.m., she goes, oh, my God, I want White Castle hamburgers. Please, let's go. So I said, okay. I get off work at 1 a.m., and let's go to White Castle. She's like, oh, that's perfect. I'll get off at midnight. Let's go. Midnight comes around. Okay, I'm ready to go. 12:05. I'm sleepy. Let's do it tomorrow. So I got a date with my daughter to eat White Castle later today.
Have I ever told you when my son turned 21 how I reacted?
No.
He went out with friends. And I'm going to sneeze.
Pretty weenie.
And he went out with friends. And I woke up that morning and there was all this booze on the kitchen table. Oh. And, you know, it was Budweiser and I forget the kind of tequila, but it was all, you know, the kind of cheap, crappy booze that you buy when you're 21 and you don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I just left a note on it that said, really? Cheap tequila? Budweiser? I thought I raised you better than this. I have no son.
I have no son.
I came home.
I didn't mean that literally.
And he had switched out the tequila for Chinaco Añejo, which is a really good premium brand that my dear departed friend Bart Kopp introduced me to. He had changed the beer to Guinness and Harp. And I forget what the other stuff was. And just a little note he'd put on it that said, I'm so, so sorry.
Oh, by the way, Corey, if you send me your address, I got something I'll mail you too.
Will it be Death Make Gold?
I'm not telling you. You send me the address first.
Okay.
I have been working a lot. It's been good overtime. It's funny when I work it because.
As opposed to bad overtime.
Well, so what happens is they keep the airport exit open. It's supposed to close at 1:30. However, with bad weather, and we're not talking necessarily in the Twin Cities, it can be anywhere. You know, Denver, Chicago, Houston, Timbuktu, wherever the plane's flying through. If there's bad weather, it delays the plane. So therefore, we might have to stay till 2:30 a.m., in which case the a.m. shift shows up. So again, for me, it's not a big deal. But then I have to be back to work at noon, which makes for what I call, guess what, people? Joe's going to be bitchy, or what I call blunt Joe. And had Corey not edited me the last two podcasts, you would have seen blunt Joe on the air. It's a wonder to behold at airport security where, you know, people just like to complain anyways.
Goddamn kids, get off my fucking lawn.
I like to wear my pants high and complain about the government. In other words, myself. So I have been working lots. I do got a lot of overtime coming. You know, it's hell to work, but it's great when the paycheck gets there. I'm telling you that.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
On the plus side, work too. I also got off for the, did I mention Chris won a major award for her work in volunteerism in the city?
I don't remember you talking
about
it.
Maybe I'll do a podcast about it sometime.
Okay, that'd be good.
I'm also, very big on, The Simpsons Tapped Out, as, Corey yelled at me for earlier. And also, back at work again, we had, I can't talk about comics because obviously I haven't read any. You know, we had Air Force One come to town, which was, you know, to me, it's cool because I've only seen it a couple times flying. Airline passengers probably don't like it because there's basically a 200-mile no-fly zone around it. So when he comes a-landing, everything stops. If you happen to be on a plane, you're screwed. If your plane's on the tarmac, you're screwed. We did get a couple interesting, you know, some people went out and took some pictures. We did see once the plane had taken off that they had a big C-3 transport. And, you know, that's one of those where the big nose comes up. And some people got pictures of them bringing the presidential limo into the transport. And of course, being that Air Force One came to town, the Russians had to show up. They brought in one of their absolutely huge transports. You're talking this thing's got like six engines, more wheels in it than most highways, especially the flooded out ones. So I just thought it's significant that the day Air Force One shows up, probably the premier aircraft we've got flying around here, and the Russians got to outdo Americans once again. You think it was soccer or something. Anyway.
Now, when I was at work, we saw Air Force One fly by. So, you know, while you got to be more involved, for me, it was pretty impressive just to see the plane.
Well, I wasn't really involved. I was just, you know, when the Air Force One first came, when we first rolled out TSA, 2003, I think, Bush come to town and he landed and it actually taxied in front of the concourse we were working on. So that was really cool. I mean, we were all like pictures and geeking and of course the gate agents are like, yeah, Air Force One's here. Screw up my day. You know, and then we watch it park over at the Army base and everything's frozen until the president's in his limo and off to the base. So it was kind of cool. And the second time he came, I actually got to watch it land, which was, I was driving and then there was some guy standing by the gate and I thought, okay, that's unusual. So I drove over and he's just got a camera taking pictures. I thought, okay, I'll stay and watch. So it is kind of cool to actually see the thing, you know, I mean, other than movies.
So, okay.
Corey, what's got you geeking? What's got you freaking? What's got you happier than a tornado in a trailer park?
First off, I am now caught up on both Thor and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sweet. I am current on Guardians. I'm waiting for Thor. And
the fifth part of the Last Days of Midgard came out. And I got to say, when the story starts, the most recent Thor story starts, it's Thor against the head of Roxxon. No, that's an Iron Man thing. I don't want to see Thor dealing with corporate crap. But by the end of it, it's like, oh yeah, they've created a new villain. We're all excited. It's a great story, and I need to quit. I need to quit second guessing Jason Aaron. I need to just stop doing that. It's just, nope, just go along for the ride. He's also building to a much bigger story.
Mm-hmm.
The War of the Nine Realms.
Ooh, I may have to jump on board.
So we had Malekith is now the king of the Dark Elves. Now Thor has pissed off the trolls more than normal, and they have a new leader. And they keep talking about, you know, the War of the Nine Realms. We're also getting stories that are far in the future where Earth is barren and destroyed and Thor says that it is his fault. Now, of course, we know that Earth will not be barren and destroyed as long as Marvel needs to publish comics, but they're building to something big and I'm really excited about it. Guardians, on the other hand, is more, they've split up the team. The team's all in trouble now and how are they going to get back together? So I really like both of the books, and I'm glad that I got together a few issues before reading them with Thor. Like I said, I read the first part and went, oh, it's going to go off the rails. Stuff that I'm reading as it comes out is Daredevil. Daredevil I love. Haunted Horror. We've talked about that a few times. I'm now current on that. It reprints 50s horror stories, and I know not everybody likes that stuff, but I really enjoy it. Am I ever going to say that those stories are good? No, because they're not. If it's not by EC or some of the Atlas stuff or so, you know, there's some scattered good stuff. But for most of the 50s horror comics, it's same reason you watch a Roger Corman movie or a 60s Godzilla movie. It's fun, but it's not any good. I just got done reading a biography that has nothing to do with comics that I'm going to highly recommend. And it's Johnny Carson by Henry Bushkin. Joe, were you a big Carson fan?
I am.
Do you remember when he would talk about his financial advisor, Bombastic Bushkin?
Yeah.
That was a real guy.
Oh, no.
It was his lawyer and they were very, very close for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's writing about Johnny Carson during the time he knew him.
So what was the name of the book?
I think it's just called Johnny Carson. Let me look it up.
Say that name again. Bomb. Bomb Baskin?
Bushkin.
Bushkin.
Yeah, Henry Bushkin.
Interesting.
Yep, it's Johnny Carson by Henry Bushkin.
Cool.
And he goes into Johnny's affairs, his own affairs. Do you remember in like 79, 80, when it looked like Carson was going to leave the Tonight Show and go to ABC? Mm-hmm. And then after that, after those negotiations, the Tonight Show was cut to an hour.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He only did three.
And they
he only did 3 days a week. This goes into what everything was going on behind the scenes. Joan Rivers' involvement in that.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, her husband was very key in that negotiation. Goes into what happened when Joan Rivers went over to Fox and Carson's reaction to it. But really, it gets more into who Johnny Carson was and why he and Bushkin had a huge falling out. And when you had a falling out with Carson, it wasn't, you know, a screaming match. It would just be he was done with you and he never spoke to you or interacted with you ever, ever again. But just a fascinating biography. I'm reading a lot of biographies and autobiographies lately, and that's one I've really liked. The other book series I'm reading is one that comic fans will like. It's written by Max Allen Collins,
mm-hmm.
who's written a lot of comics. It's the Jack and Maggie Starr book series. There are three of them. A Killing in Comics, A Strip for Murder, and Seduction of the Innocent. I talked about Seduction of the Innocent, which is a murder mystery set around the Frederick Wortham crusade against comic books. I'm now reading A Strip for Murder, which is a fictionalized version of the Al Cap Ham Fisher feud.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, you as a Lil Abner fan know a lot about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the mystery, it's very much written as an old school mystery. It's murder happens, the investigator goes and he talks to each person, then he gathers them together in the room and explains what he has found out. But it's really good in that it is digging into comic history. The first one, A Killing in Comics, is around the Superman ownership issue that happened in the late 40s between DC and Siegel and Schuster. And they're quick reads. You can read them in an afternoon. They're a lot of fun. And you learn some comic history while getting a good murder mystery. And comic-wise, that's really about what I've been reading. I'm excited about the fact I picked up Star Trek Harlan Ellison's City on the Edge of Forever, issue number one, which adapts Ellison's original script for that.
Which was out in book form. He had all of his scripts in book form. What I'm finding out as I'm reading this, These Are the Voyages, is that when you bought, you were hired as a scriptwriter in the Star Trek show, you were given, you had three scripts you had to write, the first, the second, and the third, and you were only paid upon delivery of the third script, if I'm reading that right. It might be you got a piece of the action with the first one, but you're expected to do a couple rewrites for free.
Yeah.
And the most annoying thing, and of course, if you know the history of Star Trek, is that Roddenberry rewrote everything on everybody. I just finished reading, there was the episode, I can't think of the name. Hang on. I'm flipping through the book. I'm flipping as fast as I can. Oh, here it is. It was written by What Are Little Girls Made Of by Robert Bloch.
Oh, yeah.
And
the guy who wrote Psycho, believe it or not.
Yeah, they really liked his writing, and the idea that they got this guy, a major science fiction writer, to write for Star Trek was phenomenal. Even NBC was excited about it. The problem was that Roddenberry just couldn't keep his hands off it. And
yeah,
to Roddenberry's credit, it was Roddenberry's show. a lot of what we remember is because of what Roddenberry did. But he infuriated the writers doing it. Harlan Ellison especially, most of all.
Well, yeah, Harlan is kind of a he's a bit excitable.
What do you say? It's not so. Anyways, Harlan, I haven't gotten to the episode with Harlan yet, but I know a little bit of the backstory, and also that there was a book out that had these scripts in it that you can buy probably on eBay. And now, like Corey said, IDW is doing a series of with the original script, which I should have coming pretty soon in my box day. So I'm excited to pick this up. And if they do, this is one of those where I like Ellison's work so much. Usually when there's a signed copy offered, I usually jump and buy it just because I really like having that stuff. If I had the $50,000 necessary, I would have bought the typewriter he used to type all this stuff. Apparently he just used one typewriter his entire career. And as he comes to the end of his life, he just said, you know what? I'm done. I'm selling it. I'll even type on it. This is Harlan Ellison's last typed thing on this typewriter. I don't know if he ever got an offer on it, but damn, if I was rich instead of good looking, I'd definitely have been all over that.
IDW is doing a real good job with the Star Trek license, and I'm excited to read this. It's drawn by, let me see who the artist is. It's one of the comic artists I really like. It's a guy who drew Fallen Angel, and now he does painted books. So let me get the J.K. Woodward. So the art is really beautiful in it. And that's really a lot of what I'm reading. Binge watching. I've been binge watching because I've had Friday night I didn't work.
It's just like saying that word,
today.
Binge.
Well, I watched all of the HBO series Silicon Valley.
Ooh.
And it's by Mike Judge, who did Beavis and Butthead, which I didn't care for. King of the Hill, which I didn't care for. Office Space, which I deeply love. Idiocracy, which I deeply love. And Silicon Valley actually worked better for me as a binge watch show. The pilot was good, but the individual episodes kind of, you needed to watch it all at once. I could see why watching it episode by episode, you'd go, who cares? But when you watch it all at once, it kind of gets that snowball effect of they're sort of building all the characters. They're putting in all these ideas for companies that work in the tech world so that by the end, you really are enjoying the show. And the other thing I'm binge watching, because I was like 3 months behind, is the anime series One Piece, which is about pirates. And how can you not love an anime about pirates, Joe?
Well, if it had robots in it, zombies.
Well, they don't have robots, but they have people with mechanical parts, so they have cyborgs.
Ooh, now you're talking.
The problem I've always had with One Piece is a lot like Dragon Ball Z. When a fight starts, it goes for like 3 episodes. So it's like you're watching an episode. Oh, yeah, they punched each other for 22 minutes. And yeah
they need to. But if I need to watch Family Guy to figure out how to do an epic fight in like about 4 minutes.
Yeah. But I've learned that if I binge watch it, you know, watch 4 or 5 episodes at once, it gives me enough of the story that it's like, oh, okay, they are moving forward. But in a lot of these anime series like this, it's you'll watch an entire episode and one thing move the story forward. So I found I enjoyed a lot more if I watch a number of episodes.
And we all, when Corey enjoys things, the world is a happier place.
That's right.
Yes.
It's all about me, isn't it?
Yeah, let's go with that.
And then next weekend, I have 3 days off.
You?
Joe, I might lazy, get caught up on wrestling.
You lazy cad, you. I mean,
I know.
How's?
I'll have 3 days off in a row. And the Taste of Minnesota has moved out to buy my house because where it used to be, that whole island's underwater.
Yeah.
As is Valley Fair. So much for me wanting to go to Valley Fair this year.
Hey, Domingo Salgado liked the official Crazy Comic and Stuff podcast page.
There we go.
And he'll probably dislike it as soon as he hears how badly I slaughtered his name.
Well, kids, believe it or not, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for about an hour and a half.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
Not bad for having nothing to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most. Joe?
I want a pet sandal. Somebody hit my music. Call my mama. I feel like dancing. Yeah!